Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and guess what? I'm Rusty. Today is my first favorite day of the week. It's Humpity Hump Day. Yes, dare I say it. It's Wednesday, and it's a gratitude day for sure. I have to say rabbit, 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 as I do on the first of every month, in order to bring abundance, prosperity, joy, laughter, giggles, and enter a new month with a new attitude. That's all it's all about, right? Don't forget to come down to Hartford, Connecticut and visit me as I speak at the Gluten and Allergy-Free Wellness Event in downtown Hartford at the Marriott. And definitely bring an empty belly because the vendors that Nikki has lined up, oh my God, it's going to be a smorgasbord of gluten and allergen-free delicioso foods. They've got anything from chocolates to hot sauce. And you know me and hot sauce. I love me some hot sauce. Ask a PI Radio is going to be changing time. So if you listen on Wednesdays after this show, we're actually changing time to Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it is going to be an hour-long show starting next week. Wow, so many big, big things going on here in the Living and Thriving world. But I'm super grateful, and all the hard work will pay off eventually. I was asked to speak at a Yale event in a couple of weeks, so definitely get onto my Facebook so that you can keep up with me, because I have a hard time keeping up with me, but it looks like 10-12 I might be speaking at Yale at a health venue, which would be very, very cool, and hope to get to see you then. Don't forget to check out my latest blog. It's all about fear and conquering fear, and what is fear really, except just the crazy collision of thinking that we all tend to have. So definitely go to my blog, check it out, comment. I love it when you guys comment. I love it when you email me and say, hey, I really want to hear about this. Hey, I really want to hear about that. Living and Thriving is growing. We are up to 2 shows a week, and I have 2,700 people on a waiting list. Can you believe it? I cannot keep up with these people. So definitely, 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 if you have an opportunity to sponsor, this would be the time because the rates are really, 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 really low. And if not, you might miss this whole boat because it's taken off crazy. Today, I am so excited. I have been waiting for months to talk to Kyle. He is actually calling in from Wales, which is an honor because I know it's pretty late there. I think we're 6 hours ahead, so, you know, it's after tea time, after supper. But he's a psychologist, and he is all about finding your potential and transforming your lives and, you know, getting, you know how I always say, untangle myself from myself? He's all about that, too. And it's all about vibration and energy flow, and I'm going to pull him on, and so he can tell you all the cool things that he does himself. Good morning, Kyle. How are you? Or afternoon, evening?
It's good evening. Hi, Rusty. Thanks. It's great to be on the show.
Excited. Karen has told me so much about you. She says you do everything and you're fabulous. And I asked her if you did dishes and windows, and she says maybe.
I definitely do dishes and windows. I cook, I clean, I shop, and I'm a father to 2 young girls. So, yeah, I pretty much do it all.
Oh, and you braid hair, too?
Sorry?
Do you braid the girl's hair?
Do I braid the hair? No, I don't.
No, not yet.
You braid the hair? No, I don't. I can just about plait, but braiding, you know, there's a real skill in braiding. I've seen it done. You know, I've seen people with, like, really big hands do it, and that blows my mind when you get people with, you know, hands twice the size of mine getting down and doing these tiny braids. I think that's phenomenal.
Well, welcome to Living and Thriving, and this is just a casual conversation about who you are and what you do and what inspires you, what motivates you, and how you can motivate and inspire over 300,000 people internationally. So who are you, Kyle? What do you do?
It's funny. People don't ask that question. Who are you? Who are you really? I'm a spiritual being
exactly.
having a human experience. That's who I am. And I'm moving around this bizarre planet in this vehicle that I call a body. And it's really weird. It's really weird out there, isn't it? So that's kind of who I am as an individual. I'm a 44-year-old male that lives in suburban Cardiff, which is the capital city of Wales. And I'm a psychologist. I started working in management consulting. I moved into therapy about 15 years ago, and I started working with about 12 years ago, started working with a doctor, and we put together a therapy which was based on a new perspective, a new theory on emotion and the effect of emotion in on health. And we were looking to treat, and were treating, we did treat very successfully, sufferers of things like chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, post-viral fatigue, and chronic immunodeficiency syndrome, as you say in the US. So that, and also anxiety and depression. So that's I guess, a little bit about my history. I've broadened what I do more recently, over the last 3 years. I still work with people that are chronically ill, developed the theories of emotion and the practices that go with that. But I also work, I'm back in business a bit as well, working with executives, doing spiritual kind of life coaching, helping people really maximize their potential by really getting into the root of who they are. So I guess my thing is, you know, my little tagline is about helping people unleash their potential and transform their lives. And the basic idea of that is that I feel that there is there's a core vibration of who we are. And I feel that in our Western culture, we've become very detached from our physical bodies. We've become very detached from our emotional bodies, and certainly very detached from our spiritual bodies. And we've become very thought-orientated. Everything about thinking seems to be good. And the word thinking seems to crop up several times in every sentence. So you're always encouraged to think a bit more about this or think a bit more about that. And if you think about it, it'll change how you feel. And I think what's happened as a result of that is we've become very much stuck in our thinking brain, and we try to think about everything, and we try to solve all our problems through thinking. And as a result, we've become, in my experience, we've become somewhat detached, as I say, from the physical, emotional, and spiritual aspects of ourselves. And what happens over time is this ultimately results in people being at best stuck and unhappy, and at worst chronically ill. So even though I work with quite a broad range of people, the thrust of what I do in helping people unleash their potential and transform is reconnecting with that, the core essence, the intuitive wisdom, the innate knowledge and wisdom that resides within all of us. So that's my shtick. Am I wobbling on you?
No, we're good. All right, so what did you want to be when you were a child?
I think when I was really young, I quite liked the idea of acting, probably when I was about six. Then I really wanted to write music, and I was pretty musical. I played loads of things. When I was about 15, I developed tinnitus, and then I started to lose my hearing. And I kind of figured that a career in music and sound may not work out for me. And it just transpired that I was that kid in the playground at school that other kids would come up to and tell their problems to. So my mother mm-hmm. said to me, well, do psychology, because you're always good with people. You're always solving people's problems. So that was kind of it. I still do things with music, and that's my other passion. But I have to wear hearing aids because I'm kind of half deaf. But that was, I suppose that was my path, a lot of it probably down to my mother encouraging me to look at what was right for me in those early days. But I guess ever since I finished college, I spent 5 years at university doing psychology, doing an undergraduate degree, then a 2-year research master's. And then as soon as I came out of that, I knew that really my passion was working with people. I actually suffered from anxiety and depression through my late teens and my early 20s, and I couldn't find anything that I'm going back 20 odd years now, over 25 years now. I couldn't find anything. I tried hypnotherapy, I tried counselling. I couldn't find anything in conventional psychology that helped me. So I went on a bit of a quest to understand the nature of what I was going through. So that was kind of a driver as well. And as I said, I worked in management consulting, and a big chunk of what I did there was executive coaching. And I was really intrigued that people within a work setting often still wear a mask of the role they play at work. And that, I guess, mm-hmm. that was what springboarded me into therapy, was I wanted to get deeper into people. I'd had this experience myself where I'd somehow managed to come out of my own anxiety and depression, and I was really keen to figure out how exactly I'd done that. And I wanted to work, I wanted to kind of share that stuff with people, and I wanted to help people. So I did a bunch of training. I trained in hypnotherapy, I trained in NLP and thought field therapy and counseling and CBT. I did all these things as part of being a psychologist. But ultimately, I've come on to my own sort of ideas of things, which are looking at emotion in a slightly different way and bringing a spiritual element into healing and personal transformation as well.
Well, what I find most intriguing about a lot of what you've said, and it's reiterated on the show countless times, but I think that we have really mastered the art of suppression. And I think we've mastered the art of dislocating the emotion of being human. I think humans are amazing, fascinating creatures. I love it when they're moody. I love it when they're happy. I love it when they're pissed off. I love it when they're in their full moment. They're expressing their full range of who they are. And yet, you're right in the sense, you know, I agree with you in the sense of having the thinking be the engine of the car, so to speak, versus the feeling and expressing the emotions. But I really think that that's symptomatic to us just dislocating ourselves from community. I mean, we hide in our house, bore our brains with stupid, trashy television, and we don't really communicate. I work part-time at a restaurant, and it's been the most fun I've had in years. And I sit there and I watch people sit next to each other having a meal, but they text the whole time. They don't even converse. They just sit there and they text.
It's absolutely heartbreaking, isn't it?
Yeah. There's no expression, nothing.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, an awful lot of the health conditions that I work with, from depression through to chronic fatigue, these tend to be conditions that we experience in the West. When you're looking at indigenous cultures within the Amazon and other places, they tend, because they're very, very community focused, as you say, they tend not to experience the same sort of health problems that we have. So the health problems that we're experiencing are very much Western in orientation and the results of the society that we are part of. The other thing I wanted to say, just on that, on the point of emotion, is that often it's a funny word, emotion, because people generally have their own kind of ideas about what it means. And people, in my experience of it, tend to think one of two things. Either that it is something that's about the past, and if you've got to deal with your emotion, it means going back into your past and talking about your childhood. Or they think that emotion is just the end product of your thinking. So if they change their thinking, they can change their emotion. My belief is both of those are kind of not quite right. And current science is beginning to uncover a slightly different perspective, which I think is a little bit more in line with my view. My perspective is that as a spiritual being inhabiting this vehicle, which is a body, as I move through life, I need feedback, and in order to help me, you know, through everyday life, going from moment to moment. And the feedback I have to help me navigate through life is feeling is emotion. And in much the same way, I think, as pain. If you have a stone in your shoe, you have a pain in your foot to alert you to there's something that's causing you harm. So for me, emotion is very much like that, in the same way as a sensation of hunger or a sensation of tiredness. It's something designed to give us some feedback. And it's something that occurs now, about now. So it's not about having to go back into the past. It's not about having to analyze it or think about it. It's about simply having to feel it without judgment, without resistance, without internal mental comment, but just something that we feel, and then have a sense, be guided to whether we need to do something about it. But be aware that it's a feedback mechanism. And just sticking with your car analogy, I think it is a little bit like a call to action emotion. It's a little bit like the lights on your car dashboard. That's, you know, if you're out of gas, then a light comes on. If you have a rather posh car, that it'll tell you when your tires are going flat by a light on your car dashboard. So for me, emotion is very much about, in the present, giving us feedback about our interaction with life right now. And it's something, therefore, that we need to pay attention to right now. It's not something that we need to talk about. It's kind of a mechanistic thing, in much the same way as if we get a sensation, a rumbling sensation in our stomach to alert us that our blood sugar has dropped and we need to eat something. We don't sit around talking about eating. We kind of go to the kitchen and open the fridge and get something out. So emotion, right, for me, is kind of a mechanistic thing in that way. And I think it's been confused a lot. And I think because there are so many different perspectives on it, it's not helped. And I think, you know, as a result of that, it's been somewhat neglected academically. And when it comes down to your average man in the street, it's very difficult to know, well, what it really is. And certainly when we're talking about a man in the street, there's generally the idea that, well, you don't want to have emotion anyway. You want to kind of just block that up because, you know, certainly over in the UK, it's stiff upper lip, but I'm pretty sure it's not that far away from that within the US. And the idea of showing emotion is probably not a great thing, especially if you're a man, it's not a great thing. You really should be shoving that down. So exactly as you say, I think suppression of emotion is rife. And I think it goes back to the fact that in school, children are not taught. Children are taught to develop their brains. They're taught to kind of repeat facts. They're not really taught how to be intuitive and develop their intuition. They're not taught how to get in touch with their emotional selves and allow themselves to act in alignment with their emotion. So unfortunately, as people kind of grow up, they learn from their parents. And often what I see is you get parents that are either reasonably destructive in their expression of emotion, or they suppress their emotion. And of course, their children then learn from their parents, and then they go on and often either suppress or destructively express. So I think if this kind of stuff was taught in schools, if children were taught what emotion is, what its purpose is, and the effect on the body if it becomes suppressed, because this is a huge thing, it's been a huge part of my working life, is when emotion is suppressed, because it's a complex physiological process, ultimately it leads to a rewiring of the brain, which leads to overactivity and dysfunction within the immune system, the autonomic nervous system, the endocrine system, and then the creation of symptoms. So we get there's this whole chain reaction that occurs throughout body and brain, which leads to the symptoms of health. And this is often talked about as stress, but I prefer the word emotion to stress because, again, people have their own ideas about what stress is. So, but I think, yeah, there's, as you say, there's too much suppression. But I think if we could teach children what emotion was and how to deal with it, then we could solve a lot of the health problems, the health crisis that I think the Western world faces.
What I find very intriguing is that people don't understand how to, you know, I think coping has a lot to do with it, and I think you're absolutely right. We don't know how to cope, and our environments aren't in a position that always supports the understanding or even the wherewithal or wanting to learn how to cope differently in situations. I absolutely agree with that. But I find it intriguing that people haven't really fully accepted or connected the fact that, you know, dis-ease really is stimulated and grows and becomes bigger when your mind and your soul are they're not at ease. I think if you are spiritually connected and you're mentally capable of coping, dis-ease doesn't affect you in quite the level that we're seeing. You know, I see cancer rates crazy high now, and part of that is because we're able to, you know, acknowledge and find it sooner, but I also think part of it is our environment and how we eat preservative foods, and we don't take care of each other, and we don't take care of ourselves, and we don't have respect for ourselves on really any level anymore. What do you think?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think that we have a consumer-based culture whereby it's all the focus is essentially around us consuming more, buying more, and much of what we're doing both to ourselves and to the planet is pretty dysfunctional, isn't it? You know, I would say we're probably facing more crises than ever before in history. Feels like we're on the brink of another world war. We're chopping down trees at a rate of knots. I was reading yesterday that something like half the animals on the planet, or this half the species on the planet, have been wiped out in the last 40 years. So there is this incredible level of destruction that is being driven by arguably large corporations, and I think we're all sucked into this. And therefore, we're tending to neglect ourselves. And as you say, we tend not to eat correctly. We don't really look after ourselves. And we're certainly out of touch emotionally and spiritually.
Well, and I also happen to be an advocate for the fact that we are a fear-based society now. All over the world, you know, the only images that we really see are images of people doing things that really I'm so grateful that when I was in college, we did not have YouTube or Google, so any stupid thing I did, nobody would ever know, you know, and we can just leave it at being stupid. But nowadays, we feed off of that, and we intentionally do things to strike that chord with people, or we purposefully show war images and show beheadings and show all of this negative, fear, scary, yucky stuff. And rarely do you hear about, you know, the beautiful things that are happening in the world and the beautiful people that are happening to, you know, that are growing and being active and sharing their gifts, which is one of the reasons why Living and Thriving exists, to spread the positive. But I think that wears on people after a while. You turn on your car radio and it's negative, negative, shooting, bombing, blah, 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 blah. I don't have a TV, but for people who do watch TV, as soon as they turn on the TV, that's what they fill their heads with. They go to work, that's what the conversation's about. So I don't think that we get away from that negativity. I think it's really becoming part of our DNA. Isn't that a scary thought?
I hope that it's not becoming part of our DNA, but I can understand your thinking there. I mean, I'm hoping that, I guess I'm a little bit esoteric in my beliefs. So I feel we're going through something of a consciousness shift, and I think our DNA is changing. I think the powers that be seem to be, you know, if we step into the shoes of a conspiracy theorist, you could argue that there is something of an elite that is seeking to keep people locked in a fear state, because, you know, when people are in debt, when they're in fear, when they're just looking to get through each day, get through each week, then they're really not questioning. There's no mental capacity or emotional capacity left to really break free. And as you say, we're bombarded with either images that are destructive through the news and fear, or things that dumb us down through kind of game shows and pop idol and these sorts of things. And whereas at one level TV can seem to be somewhat harmless, my sense is it's probably pretty destructive if out of balance, and it probably is out of balance. So, yeah, I have a, you know, I'm sure this is, you know, incorporated within the work that you do as well. A great bit, a chunk of my work is having people reconnect to themselves in order that they can break free from these, from the treadmill that they find themselves on, because I think this is why we are experiencing, as a society, we're seeing depression, anxiety, fatigue and pain-based conditions at epidemic levels. And we're, you know, for those people that don't have a health problem, lots of people either hate their job or they feel stuck or they feel trapped, or, you know, they feel they have to continue doing what they're doing because they've got debts, they've got mortgage payments, they've got car payments. And of course, the sort of horrible irony of it is people feel squeezed from all angles, and the thing that they do to give themselves something of a lift is often going to spend more money to get that kind of quick fix. So we've become right. This kind of quick fix culture where we're looking for that brain chemical fix that we can get through buying something, or we can get through alcohol or drugs or whatever it is, or just watching something mindless on the TV. You know, it's something that where we can, you know, we can sort of zone out and feel good just for a moment, but without getting that deeper lasting fulfillment. And I think a deeper lasting fulfillment is what is lacking for so many people. And certainly in my experience of it, what I help people do is unlock their passions and their purposes in life. And it saddens me the extent to which people are disconnected from those things. People don't really know what they're passionate about, don't really feel they have a sense of purpose or there's any great meaning to their lives. They just go to this job they kind of don't really like, but they have to do it. So, you know, I think there's obviously people like me, I'm sure, you know, as well what you do, and people out there trying to facilitate a shift. I think more and more is part of the consciousness shift that I believe is taking place. I feel more and more people are waking up, and this is why there are more and more people like you and I and radio shows like this, where we are trying to alert people to the fact there is something else. You don't have to be stuck on this kind of rather monotonous and uncomfortable treadmill of life where you pop some pills to maintain health and you're constantly trying new diets because you're overweight, because you're bombarded with adverts for food products that are bad for your health and all the rest of it. So it's interesting. I think it's, they're sort of exciting times, but also scary times.
I think it's a very exciting time, especially in our world, because every couple of days I get to introduce an amazing person from somewhere around the world who's doing some amazing work to help motivate, inspire, and co-inspire, is what I like to call it, other people to move forward, to get ahead, to calm down, to breathe. And we're believe it or not, at the last minute of the show. So I want to make sure everybody has your information, where they can find you, and in gratitude, I'm so happy that we were able to finally do this.
Yeah, me too. So if people want to find out a bit more about my work and what I do, there's two main websites. I'm currently launching a program to help people recover from depression. It's a fresh approach to depression where it's all about reconnecting with the core essence. So it goes beyond a cognitive approach. It's not an approach about changing thinking. It's a little bit more esoteric, I guess. It's about reconnecting. So it takes people beyond depression to finding their passions and purposes. And the website for that is conquerdepressionprogram.com. And you can read about that, see a little video of me. My main website with all of my other programs and my blog and my podcast and whatnot is Kyle Davis, or Kyle Davies, as you say in America, .net. So KYLEDAVIES.net.
Kyle, you are a trip, and I hope that we get to reconnect soon and continue our conversation, because I feel like we could talk for hours and really, really dig deeply into how to help other people help themselves. So Really, really cool. Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Rusty. It's been a real pleasure.
All right, my dear. Living and Thriving with Rusty. How exciting. I can't even tell you how excited I am. Kyle, what a treat. He has so much information and so much energy and desire and motivation to help everybody live and thrive in the way that they're supposed to. I love this. I love, love, love this radio program, and I love sharing it with you because, you know, I think you're beautiful and you're amazing, and we get to walk this path together, and we get to go to all kinds of places in the world and learn about some beautiful people doing some beautiful things. So thank you for joining me today on Living and Thriving, and I hope to see you Sunday in Hartford, Connecticut, where I'm speaking. And then I have a young man on Sunday night as I'm driving back from Hartford. We're going to chat in the car and talk about more inspiration, motivation, and love. Until then, know that I love you. Go out and smile. It's the best contagion in the world.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.